Hello and welcome. This is Pastor Terry, and I'd like to welcome you to my Bible study podcast. This daily podcast is a place where we take the teachings of Scripture seriously, but ourselves, not so much. Join us as we dive into the sacred word of the Bible, and each time we read, we pray, we change the world. Welcome to Pastor Terry's Bible Study Podcast.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast. It is Monday, December the 4th, 2023, the first Monday of Advent. So this is the first week of Advent, the Monday of the first week of Advent. So, yeah, welcome. We are shifting up our program. Good morning, Danielle. Our program, our plan for Advent, instead of just reading a chapter through the New Testament, which we've been doing for the entirety of 2023, we are going to today start doing Advent readings. And so that will mean that we'll do shorter readings, like three, instead of doing just one chapter from one book. It'll be three shorter sections from Old Testament, the Epistles, and the Gospels. This is coming from this particular guide is coming from something we've done before for Advent. It comes from the Minister's Prayer Book, influenced by Martin Luther. And so, yeah, it's got a lot of things in it in addition to Advent readings, or really not just Advent, it's the entire Christian calendar. And so we're just picking it up at the beginning with Advent. So some of you, if you've been around a while, you may still have a copy of it. And so you can have the, you know where we're headed. But I did put the readings, the daily readings in the episode notes. So if you're wondering what readings we're doing or if you want to refer back to them, they are there. So awesome. So glad to have you guys on. Thanks for sharing this. I know some folks over on Facebook wanted to participate. So, you know, some of them are not as savvy maybe as you are in finding YouTube. So if you want to help them out and share it over on Facebook, that would be awesome. All right. So today, the first reading is from Isaiah chapter 1, verses 10 through 20. And you know what we do? We read, we pray, we change the world. Let's see what the Lord has to say to us from these Advent readings today. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 10 through 20. And just a little reminder of what Advent is. I mean, Advent is, excuse me, it literally means awaiting, like you're waiting for something. And with that waiting, there's some anticipation, excitement, expectancy. And so each year in the Christian, if you follow the Christian calendar, leading up to Christmas is a time of kind of reliving the expectation and the anticipation of Messiah's coming. So it's kind of a drama, right? It's like going back into the drama, going back into the scriptural story. And so at Advent, we put ourselves back in the Old Testament, as it were, or in the days leading up to the birth of Jesus. And so we relive the prophecies. We relive the desire, the anticipation, the longing, and maybe the best word of all, the longing for Messiah. And so, and we condense, you know, thousands of years of longing into 4 weeks, and that culminates, you know, with the exuberant celebration of Christmas Day. These readings will kind of take us along that journey. So Isaiah chapter 1, verse 10, hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom, listen to the instruction of our God, you people of Gomorrah. Now, obviously, Sodom and Gomorrah, pleasant memory in Scripture, right? Destroyed because of their wickedness. So here the word of the Lord speaking to wicked people. Verse 11, the multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me, says the Lord? I have more than enough of burnt offerings, of rams, and of the fat of fatted animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. It's interesting. My hunch is that Isaiah is not only speaking specifically here to Sodom and Gomorrah. He's probably using Sodom and Gomorrah as a euphemism, I guess is the right word, for ungodly rulers. He's basically saying, "You rulers of you ungodly rulers, listen up," basically. And that doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter if you're from Sodom or Gomorrah or Israel or Palestine or the United States or. He's basically saying, you know, this is sort of a catch-all phrase for any and all ungodly rulers. He's saying, hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom and Gomorrah. I've had enough of your burnt offerings of rams, of fatted animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When they, so he's the Lord is expressing fatigue of like unrepentant offerings, like just going through religious ceremony and ritual. When you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you, this trampling of my courts? Wow. Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Man, that's convicting, isn't it? Like, stop bringing meaningless offerings. You know, when we bring ourselves to worship, are we thoughtful? I mean, not always. We're honest, right? Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Karina. Good morning, Nona. Good morning, Ann. Pastor Tim, Jane. Welcome, everybody. Stop bringing meaningless offerings, verse 13. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbaths, and convocations, I cannot bear your worthless assemblies. What is he expressing? Fatigue with empty religious ritual. Yeah. They have become your new moon feast and your appointed festivals. I hate with all my being. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I hide my eyes from you. Wow. Man. Why? Because there's ungodliness. It's fake. It's become fake. It's religion it's religion void of true relationship with God. It's let me just go get my ticket punched in religious duties, but I really don't have a heart relationship with God. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I hide my eyes from you. Even when you offer many prayers, I am not listening. Your hands are full of blood. You're doing bad, wicked things, right? Verse 16, wash and make yourself clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Learn to do right. Man, that's what we're asking the Lord to teach us, right, daily. Lord, teach me to do right. Lord, teach me to walk in your ways. Teach me to seek justice. Teach me to defend the oppressed. Teach me to take up the cause of the fatherless, to plead the case of the widow. Lord, teach me to care about the things that you care about. Amen. I mean, as a disciple of Jesus, that's what we're praying all the time. Lord, teach me. Teach me. A disciple is what? A learner. A disciple literally means a learner. And we are disciples of Jesus. We are learners of Jesus. So teach us, Jesus, to do what is right. And here, you know, 700 years before the birth of Jesus, God is expressing through his prophet a fatigue with empty religion. Verse 18, beautiful passage here at verse 18. Come now, let us settle the matter. Or some translations say, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be made as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. He's looking forward, right? He's looking forward to this kind of a prophetic passage, that there will come a day when your sins, though they're scarlet, will be white as snow. Though they are crimson, they'll be made white as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Wow. It's a powerful passage from Isaiah, the ancient prophet. And that's part of the reason Jesus came, right? I mean, he came to fulfill that old temple system that had become worn out, had become ineffective. And God says, I am tired of the burnt offerings and the sacrifices and just this routine over and over and over. What I want is a change in heart. And he looks forward to the time when he would come and make that a possibility himself. All right, now over in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 1:1-10. Let's do it. Paul, Silas, Timothy. This is after Jesus now, right? So got to get your mind right. This is now the other side of Jesus, other side of Christmas. To the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and our Lord and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your obedience and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power. See, there's that tie into the previous passage in Isaiah. The difference in the gospel is that it is not just words, but it is in power. It's not just in ritual, but it's in true power. So he says, our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. This is all like inward, deep conviction, compelling. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. That we would, man, what a prayer for us, that we would live with joy that through the Holy Spirit, even in the midst of suffering. And so you become a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned from God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Wow. You think about that passage in Isaiah where it was a warning of the leader rulers of Sodom and Gomorrah, a warning of destruction, that if they didn't change, if they didn't rend their hearts, as it were, and come in reason and choose to follow God, that there was destruction, there was punishment related to that, there was consequences related to that. And here we see that Jesus is the one who's come to rescue us He comes to rescue us from the coming wrath. All right, our third reading is from Luke chapter 20, a gospel reading now. Good morning, everybody. Welcome. So glad you guys are on. Hope you are off and running in your Advent celebration, but not running too fast. You know, got to walk a little bit and spend some time with the Lord like we're doing right now. Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 20. I'm in Luke. I'm just got to find chapter 20. There it is. There it is. Luke 20, 1 through 8. One day, as Jesus was teaching the people in the temple courts and proclaiming the good news, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, together with the elders, came up to him. "Tell us by what authority you are doing these things," they said. "Who gave you this authority?" Verse 3, he replied, "I will also ask you a question. Tell me, John's baptism, was it from heaven or of human origin?" Okay, so the religious leaders are trying to trap Jesus. You know, by what authority you're preaching these things, saying these things, you know, who's authorized to what you're doing? And so Jesus turns the tables. He's like, okay, well, I want to know if you can truly identify a godly authority or not. If it were right before you, would you be able to even identify it? So let me ask you a question. John's baptism, was that from God? Was that from heaven, or was that a human enterprise? Are you more concerned about winning an argument, or do you want to actually know the truth about what's of God and what is not of God? That's that empty ritual, man. The theme, I think, in these passages now is just that that Advent is a remedy for empty religion. The coming of Jesus is a remedy for empty religion. But the reality is some people like empty religion. Some people like to just go through the rituals because it really has no bearing on their heart or life. They can just do the rituals. But it's lifeless. It's not redemptive. It's not fulfilling. It's not, frankly, what God desires, right? And so here we see the chief priests and teachers of the law, they're engaging in this empty religion that is just about arguing and trying to win arguments and trying to play religion. So they said, Jesus said, tell me, John's baptism, was it from heaven or of human origin? They discussed it among themselves and said, "If we say from heaven, he will ask, why didn't you believe him? But if we say of human origin, all the people will stone us because they are persuaded that John was a prophet." So they're just thinking human terms, right? They're thinking about public opinion right now. If we say that John was from heaven, people will be like, why didn't you listen to him then? If you knew he was from heaven, why didn't you listen to what he said? But if we say he's not from heaven, we're in big trouble because people loved him. So they answered, "We don't know where it was from." You're the religious leaders. You're the religious leaders. You don't have an opinion on the matter. Like, you don't, this is kind of an important thing. Like, you don't have a perspective. You know, as a as a Christian, we don't have to comment on everything, right? You know, like every time someone asks for your opinion, you don't have to give it. It's not a rule. But there are some things we should clearly have an opinion on. There are some things that we should clearly be able to discern. Is that good or evil? And we should be able to discern that. And here, this is a big one. This is John the Baptist, who's been going around preaching and teaching and baptizing people. Like, religious leaders, you ought to be able to speak into this. Is this a thing of God or not? But they're not interested in that because it's more about playing a game. Verse 8. So Jesus said, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things." Verse 7, they said, "We don't know where it was from." And so Jesus says, well, neither then will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. You know, even in Jesus' ministry, there was sort of an advent, right? Like there was a progression of his overt declaration of who he was. A lot of times he would perform miracles and signs and wonders, and he would say, don't tell anyone, my time has not yet come, right? Like, there's a timing to this. There's a pace and a cadence. There's an advent. There's a disclosure, right, that has to happen. And so we see here early on, because you wonder, like, why didn't Jesus just say, yes, I'm of God, right? It's something for you to think about. Like, why didn't he? I mean, I think part of it is it's the timing thing. Part of it is it would have been of no consequence to them because they were, again, not really interested in the in responding or having it affect them or change them in any way. They were just playing the game. And so that would have just been, if Jesus says, I'll tell you where I'm from, who gave me authority. My Father in heaven has given me authority to do these things. And at some places later on, he will pretty much say that exactly. But at this point, it's pointless, right? Like, this is, it would have only been more fodder for the game that they're trying to play. All right, so I think the challenge for us today from these three readings is to sift any fake religion in us, to sift any empty ritual, and to rededicate our hearts to true worship, to true adoration of him, to want to learn and listen and to seek the things that the Lord seeks. Yeah. And that'd be an admirable and a worthwhile endeavor, wouldn't it? I think that's what the Lord would want from us today. To truly seek him. Yeah. All right, you guys. Hey, thanks for jumping on. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your holy word. Thank you for this season of Advent. Thank you for your holy word that reminds us and instructs us and corrects us, Lord. Lord, we've all been guilty of just participating in empty religion. And even Advent itself can become an empty religion. We can light the candles and we can have the Advent calendars and we can do all the Christmas stuff. And it's just an empty religion. And so, God, thank you for reminding us through your word today that we need not and should not allow Advent to become an empty religion. That it's more than daily readings and lighting candles and singing songs, but it's our heart that you want. And so we pray that as we do these readings and we do the Advent candles and we do the ceremonies and the worship and the all that's a part of that and the fun things that are part of that, that they would be a representation of true worship. Yeah. We thank you, God, for your goodness and your grace. May you bless my friends today, encourage and strengthen them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Man, it's interesting how sometimes in prayer is when it actually all comes together. It struck me, and you probably noticed, that in prayer, I think it all came together. That these readings to me now really are a reminder not to let Advent itself become an empty ritual. Wow. It's like in prayer, God reveals that. Like it came together. Like that was the point. Like, you know, these new moon festivals and rituals and, you know, Christmas Eve services and this and all these things. It's like in prayer, it came together. Like that's the point, man. That's the point. And so, that was a great, man. You never know, man. It's just the Spirit of God speaking in the moment and revealing in the moment. So praise God. All right, you guys, thanks so much for being on today. I hope you guys have a fantastic day. We'll be back at it tomorrow with the next set of readings. It will be kind of walking through those same books for a little while until we move over into the next week. You guys have a great day. Thanks for being a part of this. Thanks for sharing, liking, hitting that thumbs up button. That's how other people can see it and find it. Thank you for sharing it over on Facebook and other places. Those of you guys on the podcast, thanks for listening. You guys have a fantastic day. We'll be back at it tomorrow. We'll see you then. God bless.
Thank you for joining me on today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show. If this episode has been an encouragement to you, take a minute to subscribe or comment or share it with your friends. You can find me, Pastor Terry, and Bayside Church on all social media platforms. You can find Bayside at Bayside Church SH. Until next time, remember, God's word is true. Everything else is merely commentary. God bless you. We'll see you next time.